This morning on Wake Up With Hope, we are celebrating the beginning of the end. Of the year, that is.
Plus, the doctor is back with charcoal poultices.
Charcoal what?
Stay tuned and find out more.
Good morning and welcome to Wake Up With Hope and welcome to the 1st of December.
Wow, I cannot believe it's December already, yeah. The last month of 2022.
Wow.
And I cannot believe how fast this year has flown by. So start thinking about those New Year's resolutions,
right,
friends, and share your thoughts with us. We want to help you stay on track.
Yes, and we would love to hear from you and let us know what you would like to see more of next year. That's right. Send us a message on Facebook and tell us what are the different segments that you would love to see more of and what do you like to see.
Today is also World AIDS Day.
That's right.
A day to remember those who have died from this terrible disease and remember those affected in prayer.
Have you ever heard of a charcoal poultice or wondered what life's greatest privilege is? Well, we're here to fill you in. We will share all about it in just a few moments. But first, let's take a look back at this day in history.
In Montgomery, Alabama, on December 1, 1955, Rosa Parks was jailed for refusing to give up her seat on a public bus to a white man, a violation of the city's racial segregation laws. The successful Montgomery bus boycott, organized by a young Baptist minister named Martin Luther King Jr., followed Parks' historic act of civil disobedience.
It was a bold move, one that came with lots of risk. But Rosa Parks took a stand for the right, no matter the cost. You know, what about us, friends? In a world where we are surrounded by wrongdoing and the increasing desire to normalize sin, what are we doing? Are we following the crowds? Are we afraid to take a stand? Are we shying away from our Christian profession, you know, fearful of the consequences that may come if we make it known? Let's take a note from Rosa Parks. Let's be bold and take a stand for Christ. Though her cause was worthy, the cause for Christ supersedes every other. Friends, will you take a stand for him today, no matter the cost? After all, he took the ultimate stand, the ultimate risk. He made the boldest move. Why? For love. To save us. To save you and me from eternal death and the ruin of sin.
Amen. Praise God for that bold move.
Amen.
Privileges. A privilege is a special right or an advantage. Things such as a well-paying job or driving. But what is life's greatest privilege? Adrian Webster is here to tell us.
One in three women are going to experience some form of psychological or physical abuse at the hands of their partner throughout their lifetime. Even more frightening than that is that 14 women, 6 men, and 10 children are going to die as a result of an incident of domestic violence. And then there are our police force. They're called to 200 incidents of domestic violence a day. That's one every 7 minutes. And the most frightening of all, get this, the police estimate that only 18% of domestic violence incidents are actually reported. If you're one of those people that have the privilege of enjoying a marriage that is completely contented, completely fulfilled, free of any sort of violence or abuse, cherish it, relish it, and count your blessings, because many are not in that privileged position. There's an interesting example in scripture in the Bible that's just, it captures my imagination, because it's the idea that Jesus so loved his church that he laid down his life to spare her, to save her, to restore her. You know, it's like the picture of what love really is, the willingness to forget oneself in order to reach out to the other. And I think to myself, Isn't that what marriage is supposed to be like? Isn't that, in fact, the epitome, the ideal for a healthy, happy, flourishing marriage? That's, in fact, what that scripture says. It asks husbands to love their wives in that kind of self-sacrificing way, which is totally countercultural when you think about it, because everything in our culture and our society is about the me generation, about how I can obtain greatest fulfillment and enjoyment and pleasure and the like. Our culture is that men are strong and men take and men do. And actually, scripture comes along and says, you want a marriage that works? You want a marriage that thrives? You want a marriage where people are happy, contented, and fulfilled? It's going to look different. It's going to be where a man is a man based on his willingness to lay down his life, to bless, to serve, to nurture, to protect, to save. What would our marriages look like if this was the estimate of manhood that we strove to attain to? How would our marriages and our homes be different? Because I'm thinking there would be less abuse. I'm thinking there would be less selfishness. I'm thinking there would be greater contentment, fulfillment. I'm thinking our women, our wives, would feel protected and nurtured, that they may even begin to come into their own and to blossom. I'm thinking that marriages could be very different, that our families here in New Zealand would be profoundly, positively impacted by men who step forward and say, no more using my strength for me, but I'm going to use my strength to love, to lay down my life, to sacrifice for my wife, for my children, for my family. That's the picture of Jesus. That's what families are supposed to be just a small taste of experientially. What a different picture. So what about you today? What do you say? Are you willing to give this new picture a go in your family?
Are you enjoying today's program? Don't forget to share it with a friend or visit our website at hopetv.org/wakeup to see more. And search for us on YouTube as well. Check out our YouTube channel and keep up with us.
And if you've been patiently waiting to find out all about charcoal poultices, your time has come. The doctor is in to explain on today's doctor's orders.
Ouch, I think I got bit by a spider.
Oh, have a seat. I've got just the thing for you.
Oh, good. She'll have some high-powered drug for me, I'm sure.
Here, charcoal. It's a great remedy.
Charcoal? Are you kidding me?
No. You mix it with ground flaxseed, water, and then you make a poultice like this.
You're not using black magic on me.
You know, it's perfect for insect bites.
What does it do?
It takes away the pain, the swelling, and it absorbs the toxins. We'll just cover that with some plastic.
Right, the pain's already going away.
Really? There you go. It's used for poisoning all the time.
Well, have you ever used this before, or am I your guinea pig?
Lots of times before, Mr. Guinea Pig.
But won't it tattoo my skin?
No, because your skin's not broken. It's not going to leave a permanent mark.
Ah, well, thanks, Doc, for your black magic.
Use activated charcoal to treat toxins, to prevent swelling, bruising, and for pain. Doctor's orders.
Welcome back to Wake Up with Hope, where we are eager to share the love of Jesus with you.
And we know that God is love, but did you know that He has left us love letters all around us? Right now, Sivasa Laupati sings a beautiful song as we enjoy glimpses of God's love letters.
Refreshing and brand new, and as I rise to start another package day. God makes a special way to show He cares. I love you is written in the skies between the light of day and the stars that dance around the moon at night. I love you is what He sings amongst the seas, and as His hands brush through the trees to make them sway, it's in His own special way. God tells you every day He cares. The laughter of your children warms the hearts of weary souls, and your hands and feet reach out to feed and clothe those that are cold. The beauty of your voice amongst your instruments of peace, they sing the sweetest melodies, praises to the Prince of Peace. And in the rush of life each day, God makes a special way to show He cares. I love you is written in the skies between the light of day and the stars that dance around the moon at night. I love you is what He sings amongst the seas, as His hands brush through the trees to make them sway. It's in His own special way. God shows you every day. If you open up your eyes to see that all around you lies a piece of treasure from the heart of God that shows you every day He cares. I love you is written in the skies between the light of day and the stars that dance around the moon at night. I love you is what He sings amongst the seas, as His hands brush through the trees to make them sway. It's in His own special way. God shows you every day in His own special way. He shows us every day. It's in His own special way. God tells you every day, I love you.
Friends, don't go anywhere. When we return, Faith for Today is bringing us a powerful devotional thought.
And don't forget to search for us on YouTube and check out our channel there. Keep up with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Wake Up with Hope. Thank you for staying with us, friends.
It's now time for our devotional thought. This morning, it will be brought to us by Faith for Today.
Come on, friend. You only live once, said the man in Finland. But it wasn't the number of times that I would live that worried me. It was the maximum times that I could die. I was at a lake house in Finland, approximately 60 kilometers north of St. Petersburg, Russia. If I had paid a little bit more attention during my sixth grade social studies class, I would have known that it's not the best idea to go to Finland in December. I sat in a small wooden room with four other men who seemed as relaxed as can be. The furnace in the corner sizzled as one of the polar bear-shaped men threw a bowl of water on the sauna stones. Every time he did that, it felt like the temperature jumped 20 degrees. I wanted to shout, "Cut it out! Are you trying to cook us?" I looked up and noticed that the needle on the large thermometer above the door had broken and was resting at the bottom of the clear plastic cover. I asked if it had just broken, hoping that we would all have to evacuate because of it. But they all laughed and said that it had been broken for quite some time because they always made it hotter than the thermometer could handle. Well, how hot is it? I asked, struggling to breathe. Well, about 230 degrees Fahrenheit, they said. Now, I knew we were going to die now. But that's above boiling, I said. Are you sure? The man flogged himself with a branch of silver birch and tried to explain that we were safe for the same reasons that you can put a styrofoam cup in the coals of a campfire without burning it up if the cup is full of water. Well, I could have really cared less because even in my panicky state, I knew that I was not a styrofoam cup. Before entering the sauna, if you would have asked me to run about 100 feet barefoot across the snow and ice and to jump through a large hole that was cut out of the lake's thick surface and to plunge myself into the freezing water, I would have argued with you until you gave up or fell asleep. But the longer I sat there in that man oven, the more it didn't look like such a bad thing to try. If I stayed where I was, I knew my body was going to start shutting down and I was going to die. I was faced with a no-brainer decision. Now, several thousand years ago, there were four other guys faced with a similar situation. They were trapped between the inner and the outer gates of the city of Samaria. You can find them in the Old Testament in 2 Kings chapters 6 and 7. The reason why they were trapped and what they decided to do about it makes one of the most incredible stories that almost nobody talks about. Ben-Hadad, the king of Aram, mobilized his army and surrounded the city of Samaria. They set up camp in the shape of a ring around the city, about half a mile from the walls. They wouldn't let any supplies pass into the city, and they wouldn't let anyone out of the city. This siege lasted so long that things got really crazy within the walls. Prices for anything edible skyrocketed. A donkey's head now sold for 2 pounds of silver. And people were even paying 2 ounces of silver for a half pint of bird droppings. I don't even want to know what casserole you can make with that. The king of Israel was walking along the wall in frustration when a woman shouted to him for help. She said, "This woman said to me, 'Come on, let's eat your son today. Then we will eat my son tomorrow.' So we cooked my son and ate him. Then the next day I said to her, 'Kill your son so we can eat him.' But she has hidden her son." Gross, I know. But that's how desperate life had become within the walls. But between the inner gate and the outer gate were four men with their own long list of problems. Their first problem was that they couldn't enter the city because they had leprosy. Their second problem was that they couldn't leave the city because of the Aramean army. So they just sat there, tired and hungry, wondering what to do until they began asking all the right questions. They asked, "Why stay here until we die? If we say we'll go into the city, the famine is there and we will die. And if we stay here, we will die. So let's go over to the camp of the Arameans. If they spare us, we live. If they kill us, well, then we die." These four guys realized their state. If they stayed where they were, they had nothing to hope for. There was really no motivation to retreat into the city because they would starve to death there too. So they decided to risk the few days that they had left on the slight chance that they might live beyond that. So at twilight, they set out for the camp of the Arameans. But when they came to the edge of the camp, no one was there. For the Lord had caused the Aramean army to hear the clatter of speeding chariots and the galloping of horses and the sound of a great army approaching. "The king of Israel has hired the Hittites and Egyptians to attack us," they cried to one another. So the Arameans fled and abandoned their camp, leaving their belongings and horses. They ran for their lives at the sound effects God and his angels had created. But when the four lepers entered the camp, they couldn't find anyone to talk to. It was a ghost town. They helped themselves to food and drink until they were satisfied. Then they started grabbing the gold and silver objects and clothes and began hiding it in places off the path where they could find it later. Finally, they said to each other, "This is not right. This is a day of good news, and we aren't sharing it with anyone. If we wait until morning, some calamity will certainly fall upon us. Come on, let's go back and tell the people at the palace." So they went back to the city walls and yelled to the gatekeepers the good news. It was still nighttime, so they got the king out of bed. The king said to his officers, "I will tell you what the Arameans have done to us. They know we are starving, so they've left the camp to hide in the countryside, thinking they will surely come out, and then we will take them alive and get into the city." The king is in a virtual prison where his people are eating themselves, and yet he thinks that it is still the best plan to stay within the protective walls. He is acting as if death on the other side of the walls is the worst thing that can happen to him and his subjects. One of his officers said, "Have some men take 5 of the horses that are left in the city. Their plight will be like that of all the Israelites left here. Yes, they will only be like all these Israelites who were doomed. So let us send them out to find out what happened." So they sent out 2 chariots with a few of the remaining horses to find out exactly what happened. The soldiers followed the road as far as the Jordan River, and all along the way they found clothing and equipment strewn everywhere by the Arameans as they fled for their lives. This story only had a happy ending because there were 4 outcasts that were willing to risk their lives for the slight chance of survival. If they had not given up on their safe situation, they never would have walked into this miracle. So where are you stuck today? What walls or gates do you find yourself in? Have you asked yourself the pertinent question? If you stay where you are you better off? If you retreat into greater areas and walls of protection, is that better for you as well? Or what if you go outside the protective walls to where God wants to take you? Perhaps God's greatest success for you is outside the walls. Let's take hope with that thought today.
Amen. Thank you so much, Pastor Roy.
Amen. And thank you for watching Wake Up with Hope. If you'd like to learn more about our program, please visit us at hopetv.org/wakeup.
And don't forget to join us tomorrow. We'll be talking about the God of the desert, and Mark Finley will be sharing a powerful devotional.
And if you enjoyed today's devotional thought and would like to learn more, visit hope.study to receive your free Bible study guides. Again, that's hope.study.
We enjoyed spending time with you this morning, friends. We're so happy that you've been here.
And of course, we can't leave without our daily Bible promise. Today's Bible promise is found in Psalms chapter 22, verse 26.
And it says, "The poor will eat and be satisfied. Those who seek the Lord will praise Him. May your hearts live forever."
Amen. We will be satisfied. He will fill our every need. And as we seek Him more and more and more, He will fill our mouths with praise. Praise for all the wonderful things that He has worked out in our lives. And friends, that is a promise. Let's pray together. Oh, Father in heaven, thank you so much, Lord, that we can have promises that are sure, they're certain. It's like standing on solid rock. We do not need to be uncertain about our future because you care for us and you have demonstrated that in so many different ways. And today, Lord, our hearts are filled. And we thank you and praise you for that. May you guard our hearts so they remain filled throughout this day until the very end when we rest our heads in bed once again, thanking you and praising you for the day that you gave us. Into your hands, Lord, we commit all things in Jesus' name. Amen.